I'd like to call to order the Monday, January 22nd meeting of the River Grove Water District at 4:35. Public comment. Any public comment?
No comments here.
Okay, no public comment. Review and approval of minutes for December 18th, the regular board meeting.
Yeah, I can move for approval of those. I was here.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded by Larry and Jim. Any other comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Abstain.
Okay.
Because you wasn't here.
Correct.
I'm surprised you're here now, considering what PG's been going through.
Don't mind me, Jim.
Yeah.
Just got off work.
So our board minutes are approved. General Manager's report.
Okay, I have a lot to get through so we can hold our questions and I'll finish each category and then if people have questions. So water main replacement grant project, I don't have any updates on that or our invitation to bid. The Oregon Health Service line inventory, it remains unchanged from last month. I wasn't able to get out and get any other additional service lines identified. So we remain
Can you
at
speak up, please?
Thank you. Yeah, we remain at 38%. The well one pump motor replacement. So well one pump went out a week of Christmas, and
perfect timing.
Got the electrician out, and quickly we diagnosed that it's a pump issue and not an electrical issue. The pump was not responding because it was trying to work so hard and throw amperage, which was causing everything to trip.
The pump or the motor?
The motor. And so in diagnosing what's wrong with it, I don't have an answer almost now a month out. There's a lot of issues at play. So that well improvement project occurred in 2011 and 2012, and that pump and motor were replaced. The motor failed in 2017 and was replaced. Well, there wasn't any troubleshooting that was done when it failed in 2017. It's easy to play Monday morning quarterback, and I'm not trying to do that for the district. However, if I had a pump that had failed after 5 years, I would have troubleshoot. I would have done some investigating. Something's wrong. I guess at the time it was just chalked up to luck of the draw and we had a bad motor. So nothing happened, pumps in place, working now, and now almost 5 years, 5.5 years, it goes down again. So when Schneider pulled the pump and the motor, it was determined that the motor shaft had dropped due to the thrust bearing wearing out, and the wire had, splices in it, probe tubes glued together, that requires placement. And other, cavitation wear on the impellers. So I went and authorized the extra expense, which was about $1,000 for them to scope it, just like they did well two for us. So I want to know what's going on with that well. And so initial feedback is there's nothing that they can determine that's wrong with the well. There's some, in the casings, there's perforations, et cetera. But not anything.
How do the screens look? Are they okay?
Mm-hmm. Everything looks good. There's nothing that's obvious. So Snyder wanted to go ahead and put a motor back in there. Well, I said, no, we're not going to put a motor back in there. There's something that's going on. So I actually talked to Chris, the owner. And so the two most likely culprits of the motor going out just after 5 years is that it's a water quality issue, which Schneider wouldn't be able to help, and that would require drilling, a new well. Do I think that's it? No, I don't think that's it. What takes out thrust bearings is too many starts and stops. And so why is it starting and stopping? So we tried to get on SCADA and look at the history, and SCADA history is very, sporadic. SCADA also went down because when they pulled the pump, they got water all over. So SCADA actually went down and couldn't bring that back up, had emergency calls out here because it was right in the middle of the storm. Mm-hmm. And we would have had to, I would have had to manually operate wells 2 and 3. So you know when well 1 goes down, well 3 is doing all the work for the lower zone, which it's supposed to do, and well 2 is taking care of the upper zone. But running both of those manually can be, you know, a little bit challenging in the middle of an ice storm. So in talking with Chris, what we've tried to deduce is that we don't think the water level is set correctly. And ever since I've been in the chair here, on the monthly well reports, the transducer, we don't think it's set correctly. And so if it's not set correctly and not reading the water level, then that's going to cause the motor to, you know, work extra hard trying to, you know, pump water from an inaccurate depth. And so where we lie right now is I told Schneider to go ahead and start on their business because they had to release the trucks. I showed you pictures from well 2 when the trucks were here before and how they were jacked up and all the pipes that were pulled. It looks like there, if you go down to well 1, it's the exact setting. But we can't have them tying up their equipment. I told them to start on another job. And I knew going releasing the trucks that it'll be probably a week or 2 weeks before I can get equipment back here once we want to get the pump and the motor reinstalled. So we're investigating the possibilities for these premature failures. Again, motors should not go out, 2 motors in 10 years. There's obviously something wrong. We're able to get through all this integration that was done from all the years on the SCADA and get some historical data, but now we need time to verify it. So we need to look at the values at what it's showing us and come up with a logical deduction of what's going on with the motors. So we're looking at the PLCs, we're looking at the data, we're looking at well operations, we're looking at the frequencies of starts and stops, because that's what Chris immediately said. It's the starts and stops that are welling, you know, are wearing out.
Sense, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're continuing to verify all that. I think the transducer is not accurate. We're going to look at that as well. And
they were out too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so that's where we stand with the well 1. I don't think it'll probably be up and running for another 2 to 4 weeks. And that normally wouldn't give me concern because well 3 is more than capable of handling the demand. Just if we have an ice storm, and which we've had for the last 3 Februarys, we had one in 21, 22, 23.
It came early this year.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that. So I'm hoping we don't have any weather event coming up in February. So right now we stand at an expense of $28,308 for the actions that we've taken. And that's also, though, includes a possible replacement motor. Franklin is a good motor. We have another motor that we could go with for our size of our well down there, and it gives us a little bit more thrust on the motor, but we're not maximizing the thrust on the motor we have. So that's not the problem. Their problem is something either with the well levels. I don't think it's water quality. I don't think that at all, and I don't want to be an alarmist in that because I absolutely don't think it's that.
No.
I think it's a mechanical issue.
Yeah.
And I think we need to do our due diligence and give the time and attention needed in doing our research. I'm having Control Systems Northwest come up this week. I don't have a date yet, as well as RH2, and we're all going to meet down at Well 1, and we're going to go through the data that we're able to pull up on SCADA. With that being said, further on in my report, I have the budget completed for 2024-25. We can't keep piecemealing together SCADA. We've got to improve SCADA. And so we're looking at probably about $100,000 to do some upgrades that are definitely required in this new fiscal year. It's the Band-Aids aren't holding anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's an old system, the integration, and I've learned a lot about SCADA and the integrator. your SCADA system is basically as good as your integrator. And when you've got different, and I found this fascinating in reading and learning about this, not everybody integrates the same way. It's like you don't bake a cake probably the way that Commissioner Patterson does or the way I do. And so it's very difficult trying to go back in and change or improve what another integrator has done. And that's what we've tried to do. And Control Systems Northwest has done a good job. And I think I briefed the board on this, you know, several months ago, mm-hmm. that SCADA is pretty good now than what it was. But in the data that we've had to, you know, try to obtain, SCADA doesn't have that for us. It's not readily available, easily accessible to us. And this is the data that we need moving forward in order to ensure our equipment is running as it should be running. I did brief the board. In the summer, we noticed that well one was shutting off, and we were kind of nursing it along, but never had I thought it would lead to something like this. And we started noticing trends, and it was the amperage. It was, you know, requiring too much. And
there's
now
an issue with the waterproof, water tightness of the, it's a submersible motor.
Right,
motor.
It's submersible. Mm-hmm.
So the water tight integrity is not an issue here.
No. The motor definitely shows signs of stress. As I said, you know, the, and I put in the report here, you know, the splicing of it, just there's a lot of buildup. If you go out and you look at the pipes that are pulled up, but I don't think it's water quality, because we all know we have silica in the water. I mean, that's, we have that.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think, though, if it was a water quality issue, I think we would have seen much more wear on the impellers. I don't think it's that. I definitely think it's a mechanical issue, and I think it has to do with the water level. I don't think it's water quality. I think it's water level. Until we get that ironed out, and I had talked to the board, I think at least two board meetings ago, how I wanted to pay money and have somebody come out and actually, you know, let's pump and flow, I mean, do our measurement, are we actually getting the correct flow? So this is a chance to get all of those issues taken care of and make the right decision moving forward on what, you know, what repair and replacement actions we take for the well. Because we should be getting, you know, 12 years average out of that motor.
And the impeller too.
And it's just not there.
So, and the water quality is for the other two wells is pretty much the same as
correct.
So, and they're not having any issues. So that would kind of support
no.
what you're saying
well,
about water quality.
Well, three and well one, same
yeah.
source.
Yeah, that's
well
what
two,
yeah.
yeah. So no, I don't think it's water quality at all.
Should we take this opportunity, since we're replacing the motor at least, to replace the impeller
no.
too?
Oh, the well, they will.
So
yeah, it's not.
Impeller.
Yeah, it's not salvageable.
It's
yeah, all that's yeah. But with the pump is still good. Yeah, the pump is still good.
The body.
Mm-hmm. And I took pictures and everything, and it'll just add to our, you know, our photo diary of our different sites. I'm still working on that database to go back and to log everything that's been done. I think, you know, again, playing Monday morning quarterback, it would have been nice in the past if the general manager reports were typed, if we had a history. You try to go back and you try to, you know, glean off, you know, board meeting minutes. There's just no real good historic data on maintenance and preventive maintenance and replacement that's been done. The biggest tool that we have is QuickBooks. You go and I search vendors and I who does what. And that's how I was able to get like history on replacements and things that were money that was spent. And so thank goodness our QuickBooks starts in 2020. So at least we're able to glean about a 23-year history. But that's how I've had to do it. And after each event, I do an after action sit rep report while it's ongoing after action when the maintenance is done or the, you know, like when well two was replaced. And I type that and I forward that to Kyle as well. So our engineers have that. So, I mean, you know, I could leave tomorrow. I could leave whenever. But there's got to be a good source. And we're also not doing computers. We're doing backup in record retention and actual paper file copies. because with everybody having, you know, their own computers, passwords, all of that, and people move on, data's lost, and we need to do a better job of historically documenting the maintenance history and replacement purchases for the district. So that's where we stand right now. Are there any questions on well one?
Yeah, I'd like to take a look at the pump sometime before, well, soon sitting on the ground somewhere now.
It's back at the shop at Schneider. It's not on site, but when we bring it back.
Yeah, let me know when it's brought back.
Yep, I've got really good pictures of it too.
Good
report.
Thank you. Customer assistance requests, emergency call outs, actually 22. We had 22 shutoff requests for broken water pipes. With that being said, board, we need to consider whether there should be the water shutoff fees. Our ordinance 1901 required it. Our new ordinance 2301 requires it. And some of the shutoffs were, of course, when Lake Oswego was closed down, state of emergencies, the roads were iced over, and it was treacherous. It was dangerous even getting here to be able to service the customers. We've had a campaign for at least 3 years that I know of where we've educated on, you don't touch the curb stop, you get your water shut off. And so what I have done is the call outs I went, because I went on all of them, is that if you show proof within 30 days that you've, as you call your plumber and your service line gets repaired, if you've had a shutoff valve installed, we'll waive the fee. So today I was very pleasantly surprised. I got two pictures that were sent in where the customers got their plumbing fixed and they had pictures of their shutoff valve.
Good.
I'll tell you, this storm has just been frustrating. I mean, I've got friends who live downtown Portland in the Pearl District, new condos, mm-hmm. pipes breaking. This is new construction. Why aren't they using PEX? Why aren't they using, you know? I mean, I could hear my PEX rattling. You know, it was moving because, it, you know, it expands a little bit. It didn't burst.
That's really strong stuff.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is new construction downtown Portland, and their pipes are breaking. I mean, there was one 40-unit apartment complex in Portland, totally no water in it because the whole place broke.
Mm. Yeah. Destroyed. Yeah.
It's
amazing to me.
Yeah, I tried to get pictures.
The building was destroyed?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Essentially?
Yeah. They had to abandon it, basically.
How old was the building?
10 years old?
Yeah, not very old.
Wow.
So I guess my question with the shutoffs is are these like customers that like weren't able to heat their homes from like a power outage and that's why their pipes froze, or is it just cold weather?
Cold weather.
You know, there is no uniform spot for shutoffs. Ours is in the crawl space way up in front. Yeah, so you have to crawl through the whole thing. When you get there, there's about this much space. You can't get a wrench in. You can't get your hand in. And the valve is frozen.
Wow.
So we're going to have somebody come.
Yeah, my house actually has three shutoffs in different places.
Really?
It's amazing. None of them are very convenient. I've actually thought about paying a plumber to come and putting a shutoff right next to the meter.
In the newsletters. You all get your newsletters in the back of your bimonthly bill.
Mm-hmm.
It says about the shutoffs, and that's what I go out and I try to tell everybody that. Because even if you don't have an irrigation, if you sell your house, somebody else may come in and want an irrigation, put your shutoff valve right at the start of your service line.
Now, mine's still accept, but it's right outside the house, right against the foundation. Thing is, it's about this deep, and I can reach it because I'm tall, but boy, pity the poor.
No, I know. You had a shutoff on your street, and they had just done a shutoff valve, but they did it in their garage, and it didn't help because they had water, you know, pouring between their garage. And
The line failed between the meter and the house.
Mm, and so when the wife came out, I told the husband, and when the wife came out, I said, told your husband, you know, when you get this fixed, I said, get another shutoff valve installed. And I had the meter box, you know, pulled and everything like that. And I said, here on your start of your service line, said you would have been immediately been able to shut off.
What does it cost about to put in a shutoff valve out by the meter box?
Interesting you ask that. So in the last year, we've got a list of plumbers that we've created a list for. And in dealing with a lot of them, and I talked to the board about doing an RFP, if they would give a price to come out and do shutoff valves. So there is one plumber, and I don't want to say it in an open meeting, we're certainly not endorsing them, that will do it for $100.
Like dig and do the entire thing, or do it in the meter box?
Do it in the meter box on the start of the service line.
Outside the box, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course not. You're going to do it right on their service line where it comes off the meter. So
if you've got room, I don't think my box is big enough.
Our box is huge. It's a shutoff valve. It's not, you know, a curb stop. It's a shutoff valve. So that's what I tell people. So when I responded to these emergency call-outs, I had printed copies of the plumber list, and I had printed copy of the June newsletter that gave pictures of shutoffs so they know what it looks like, because most of the residents I responded were houses were built in 1960, 1970s, mm-hmm. and they did not have shutoffs. And so, again, told all the ones where I responded, we'll wait 30 days to apply the charge. If you can show proof that you've installed a shutoff valve, we will not charge you the $100 fee. And as I said,
that's an incentive.
That is.
And so, too, I got them on my phone, because everybody has my phone, because mm-hmm. when I'm on call, I call back on my phone, so they have my cell phone. So, yeah, I got two pictures today. And I was just like, yes, because that's what the goal is. It's not to make money. It's not to penalize or anything like that. It's for them to take care of themselves and for them to be able to take care of their property.
Yeah.
It benefits them as well.
Well, and they're going to be able to get to it a lot quicker than we can,
right.
even if we got a full staff. So, yeah.
So, in that emergency shutoff with the customers, I'm going to segue into GIS. So, I'm now I'm going to go back and look at the budget and probably put another $40,000, because in the rain and the snow and the ice, I don't have every meter box in this district memorized. I just don't.
What? There's only
and so
what,
you're trying to respond to an emergency shutoff, and so you're going around trying to see where the meter box is.
Maybe under snow, too.
Well, it was. There was snow and ice. Mm-hmm. So I always Google on my phone the address, because it normally shows a picture of the house, and you're lucky that you can get pretty much on some of the pictures where the meter location is. Then you go out with your shovel, and you keep hitting until you hear that famous clink of the box and know that you're there. But if we had GIS, and I know we've been talking about that for 2 to 3 years, we would have the meter boxes pinpointed, and we would have the program where I could have come back to the district. I quickly identified the location of the meter box, because on some of them, it took almost 30 minutes to identify the box. There's a box over on Dogwood, and it sits down in the dip of the road. I had to chip through 4 inches of ice. I thought I was ice fishing in Alaska in order to get to the meter box. And they had a bad leak that was actually behind the wall of their bathroom. They had pipes that burst. And so...
it's amazing to me the inconsistency, and I don't mean that as a bad thing, where the... I mean, like, mine is right on the curb.
Right.
You go 3 houses down, and it's halfway into the lawn.
Correct.
You know, so it's...
And you're right, and there's no standard. But a lot of them aren't, and some are actually in the middle of the yard, like Mr.
Especially
Johnson.
Especially the parts of the street that don't have a curb. So the older sections of Don, for example, you get off the curb, they're out in the middle of the people's yards. And the only reason I notice that is I walk my dog enough and I spot them every once in a while.
Yeah.
So I asked meter readers, they can do a list for us. It's proprietary, and I said, well, it shouldn't be proprietary. You're reading for our district. So they're working on a list that they'll provide me. I did find one back dated from 2006, and that's what I used during the ice storm. But again, with new houses coming in and other houses, you know, gone, it's not as current as it needs to be.
Yeah.
But if we had GIS for that,
year-round now,
and we need to move toward that. We're so antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm building that into the budget for.
That's a good idea.
To actually get it done. No more talking about it. We need to get it done.
Well, and GIS has come down in price a lot, you know, because it's so much more common now.
Correct. Just like AMRs are coming down. Yeah. We're still not at that price point where it benefits us. I'd say probably 3 more years, we'll look at AMRs, but not right now.
Would it be helpful to actually take a picture, each property, take a picture?
I do when we respond.
Email it in to you?
Well, they would do that. That would be wonderful, but who, yeah.
No one thinks about it.
Yeah, no,
people,
and who would go to?
Water flush their faucet. People don't question it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll work in actually drafting up an RFP and see if we can get some of these plumbers to put a bid in on what they would charge our customers. And maybe we can have that. No, for, I'm so sorry, for a shutoff valve. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can advertise that in our next newsletter.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and I mean, if it's in that ballpark of $100, there's going to be a lot of people taking
that. That was
on
one
plumber
that gave me that,
we don't have the money, but it would be nice if we could do a grant program for, you know, or a loan program where people could do that, and we could, you know, could give them a low interest loan or something, but we just don't have the capability to do that.
Yeah.
But like the septic tank programs they have around that.
And that one's expired.
Yeah.
Waiting for the next one.
But the Soil and Water Conservation District, people could still do that through Clackamas SWCD. We have that program going on right now, too. So,
So shutoff notices are sent out. We're doing shutoffs on the 31st. Annual budget, made several references to it. The draft's complete. I need to know any anticipated projects that the board is thinking about, like the input by the next board meeting. Again, going through the ice storm, the GIS is definitely something that I'm going to include in there, and more allocated funds towards SCADA improvements. I will say that in doing the budget, I had to reach out to our auditor and Jared Sear Pollard. They are understaffed right now. They couldn't even do our 1099s for us as they have in the past. So Chin and I downloaded a program and we did our 1099s ourselves for our vendors. And that's just a service that they can't get anymore. So when I was on the phone with Russ, he did apologize for not answering the emails. Mm-hmm. And he's swamped. He's doing so many audits. And Debbie, who used to do our 1099s for us, she's now doing junior auditor type duties instead of what she used to do. So Chin and I were able to navigate that, do the 1099s ourselves. So they're out along with the W-2s.
About how many did you have to do?
Only 10. And we won't have to do a miscellaneous anymore. We'll just have the neck ones to do. Because our landlord has changed, and he actually has an LLC versus our previous landlord who used his social security number. Hmm. So that required the miscellaneous.
Where's our landlord?
Geyer Law. Mm. Yeah, Geyer Law, George Geyer. Water service ordinance, it was recorded with Clackamas County on the 8th, and the recording fees were paid. It was interesting that they did not have a copy of our ordinance 10-1 or 1901. So our ordinances were passed by the board and never properly filed with the county clerk. And so that's an important step, especially if you have somebody that you're trying to enforce one aspect or several aspects of your ordinance that the procedures weren't filed and it aren't followed and it wasn't filed. That's a big step. So in the future, you know, the board needs to be aware, too, that if ordinances are passed, they have to be filed. I don't know why they weren't filed in the past. Can't speak to that. This one has been filed, and it is effective now on the 17th of January.
What are the filing fees or something like that?
I believe it was $242. It's in the...
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's in the credit... in this... that you all reviewed in the, I had to put it on my credit card, or maybe it'll be in next month's. I can't remember, but about $242. Yeah. And they're very, very efficient. Just took longer driving there. I didn't realize where, you know, I'm not familiar with
up there on the top.
Yeah. It was quite a drive. And I
the
had
red soils.
Chin and I went. So then she was trained. So then she'll know in the future. The only thing I wanted to address on the budget was, again, any inputs of any projects by the next board meeting. And I went ahead and did transfers today on the employment fund, the truck fund, and 50% of the capital improvement. So that's been transferred over. the other 100,000 for capital improvement will be transferred in May. Were there any questions on the finances?
Why do you do it twice a year, Jane?
Because we don't have that much money. So I do 100,000.
Okay.
And I do 100,000 in January, but I do full 5,000 for truck and 3 for unemployment. And then I wait till May. We should have healthy coffers after the April billing and transfer the other 100,000 then. Just good financial planning. If there's no other questions, that concludes my briefing.
Well, that was plenty.
What's the status of getting some field help for you?
Employment issues are progressing very well. Should have a status at the next board meeting.
Okay, so we are then done with your report. We'll move on to unfinished business. Board policy notebook edition, and that has been tabled until February.
Correct.
Okay. Office space for the district. Commissioner Magura.
Yeah, I just read Kyle's note here. This is something that just kind of bubbled up at our last meeting, mm-hmm. and Sherry and I formed a coalition that I thought was an idea well worth pursuing. So I went up to the counter at City Hall and said, is there anything from a land use perspective that would prevent us if we wanted to put an office building on the back portion of our lot on Old Gate Road? And the planner went through and says, no, there is no restrictions. It's a permitted use with conditional conditions, mm-hmm. of course. Mm-hmm. So that it remains a viable option. My feeling is that now, with some diligent research, we could probably find grant funding to pay for a building like that. This is just billions of dollars floating around for infrastructure improvements. To put an office in the district, within the geographic limits of the district, instead of outside where we are now, not having to pay rent anymore. Well, we'd have a mortgage, I would imagine. But it would be a facility that we would own. And so there's those advantages. Also, if the footprint worked out that there's room to store our vehicles there, there's no, everything's right where you want it to be. It's right next to well number one, in fact. Kyle points out that looking down the road, so there's nothing in the short term, but we may have to rebuild well number one at some point in time. Yeah. Well, I've rebuilt wells before. You step over 50 feet and put out a new well. It's not going to be 100 feet away or something, unless there's some contamination or something, but we don't have that issue there now, and I doubt that we would 5 or 10 years from now. So I think this is still a potentially worthy idea to the point where we need to collect more information, and that would mean setting up what's called a pre-application meeting, mm-hmm. with a representative of this board, you or me or whoever. Could be 2 of us, I suppose.
Yeah.
And our engineer. And Janine, she's available, but she's never available. So we could take that responsibility.
I would like to be there.
Yeah, I really think you should be there.
And just go through the pre-app. There's a pre-app filing fee, but it's nominal. And then apparently, this was surprising, we had a pre-app on this site about 2010. And for what purpose? I don't know. The record wasn't complete because they've done some records, files transfers since mm-hmm. then when they built the city hall that we have now. So I would think we need to keep this iron in the fire for at least another couple of months. And then when we know what the city's conditions would be for approval, then we can make an informed decision of whether we think this should be pursued or not.
So this is getting into my ballpark now, and instead of it, and they said this was a permitted use subject to site plan review or a conditional use subject?
Conditional use.
Okay, we're going to have neighbors come to a public meeting on this then.
Of course.
Definitely.
Yeah, and so
when it gets to that point, there won't be neighbors for a pre-app.
Yeah, but my point is there's going to be compatibility issues brought up. I don't know if those, you know, they're going to say, is this that an appropriate use in our neighborhood kind of thing? I'm just telling you from experience, I've been through it 100 times. So
the fact that it's an existing facility, Jim, weighs in our favor, and there's never going to be more than 3 or 4 people there.
It's
except when we have a monthly board.
It's an existing infrastructure facility. Now you're talking about putting an office in there. That's an intensification of the use. It's not in our favor. Believe me, I was on the Planning Commission for 13 years, and I've seen simpler things than this get denied because of compatibility issues. I'm just letting you know, that's the kind of things we're going to be dealing with. People aren't used to having trucks parked in their neighborhood next to their houses. They're not used to having, lights on, that kind of thing, traffic coming and going. Those are the kind of things we're going to hear about. Doesn't mean it's not going to be approved, but that's the kind of stuff we're going to hear about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at some of the schematics, and it's like in the chlorine. I was in some of the rooms. Are we looking at having fire sprinkling systems, like in the office area? Anyway.
I think that'd be subject to plan review with the city in terms of what they would require for building code.
It'll be building code, not plan.
One thing to know what they require, but the investment of fire sprinkling systems, I'm just telling you, I'm very prejudiced towards that. So it is worth talking about.
Chances are, I think it'll probably be required because it's a public building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a big deal.
No.
It's not a big expense, and it's pretty typical kind of things like I've done like this. So I think we need to push on with this to have a pre-app and get the notes back from the city and then make a decision.
Mm-hmm. What's the consensus of the board?
More information is better. I'm not going to make it, I don't have I'm not going to say anything now until I see what they say.
Yeah, same. I'd like to kind of understand what the city's going to require, especially for improvements, stormwater, things like that.
Yeah.
Additional right-of-way dedication, those are all things to consider. So I think getting some answers on that, helps evaluate it.
Okay.
I'm a little surprised that our facility was permitted back in the day when it was built. But in those days, it may not have been in the city like Oswego. I don't know.
It wasn't.
No.
It would have been the county.
And drilling a hole in the ground is not the same as building a building in terms of land use. So they might have not even known it was done. Because you don't have to get a land use permit for that. You're just dealing with the Water Resources Department. Mm-hmm. And the water, believe me, Water Resources Department doesn't even look at land use. And that's one of my pet peeves with them over the last 30 years. But yeah.
They're doing the best job they can, Jim.
No, they're not. But anyways, it's a water rights issue when you drill the hole as opposed to a land use issue. So,
yeah, but if you notice on the sketch that RH2 did, it even with the existing side lot setbacks and all that, we have space.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable. 1,200 square foot building. It doesn't need to be much more than that.
No.
Space like this, an office, it's fine.
We're talking about this, it's important too for us to have hard numbers of what we've paid in terms of renting office space. You got to look at that long term and compare it.
We're paying close to $20,000 a year in rent.
Well, okay. And there's not a lot of options around. I mean,
options are few and far
it's
between.
Tough. There's not a lot of office space for rent around here.
Yeah.
So,
and what Janine and Chen had to put up with for months with the renovations of the building, that was just intolerable.
Yeah.
That was kind of the straw that broke my camel's back. Let's do something. Unknown caller.
Yeah, I think that that we need to have office space, but I'm opposed to Well 1. For obvious reasons, but I look at it from an operational standpoint. But I do think that we need to have an office. And when I was dealing with all the emergency shutoffs, we're also required to shovel the building. So
this
I was
building
mm-hmm,
the frontage.
Mm-hmm, it's in our lease.
Oh,
Wonderful.
It's not in anyone else's lease, but it's in our lease, and they expect that to be carried out.
Can we negotiate that out? That's ridiculous.
We got to keep the one we have until it's
up. I was doing that as well. And there's already a discrepancy because ours says the area in front of the building. So I did, of course, the front entrance, the sidewalk, the side here to our back door. And the nurses, that area is not in front of ours. And then when that elevator gets done and is going to be operable, but that was a big, you know, an area to do that and simultaneously try to respond to emergency shutoffs. And I took pictures and documented and sent them to the landlord. But that is an area that he expects us to comply with in our lease. I don't remember Mr. Greg Wire ever requiring that.
When did this information first come up? And
of what, Commissioner Patterson?
Of us being responsible for showing.
Was that an by the way?
No, I've known.
You've known it, is there?
I've known it since.
Red lease?
Yeah.
It's never been enforced.
I've never, 3.5 years, known that. So, yeah, we don't have to do the, of course, the drive, the parking area or anything like that. But, and parking concerns me as well as Reservoir 1. We have 3 fleet vehicles and we have 4 employee vehicles. And where are we going to park 7 vehicles? And you don't want... Down at Old Gate, you absolutely don't want the fleet vehicles parked alongside the road down there overnight.
No.
They would be vandalized. They would be theft.
No room there and to park vehicles there.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's no room at all.
You got 6 parking
and
spaces laid out.
If you, I guess, you know, look my phone, if you would go down there now, it would be a hazard to let anybody in there. Their pipes are down there. And what would have been good on that property is if where the district shop was, if that had been built like an office and then the district shop located on the back left of the lot.
Yeah.
And you've got the generator down there. But again, I remind the board, well, too, we had almost $12,000 additional expenses added on the pulling of that pump because they didn't have room. And 5 feet down of the generator would have made all the difference. And I'm not for putting anything on the well sites. Well, one is an active yard. You know, we have it set up for the maintenance yard where we have our spoils area now where, I mean, that site is used for operations. I agree that we need an office, though. I'm not disputing that. Those are just my inputs.
Good perspective, Jeanne. Appreciate it.
So, I don't know. I don't think we need a motion. I think the sense of the word is let's proceed.
It's just information gathering.
Yeah.
So let's schedule a pre-op. And
okay.
It typically takes 4 to 6 weeks to get an appointment for that. They
make the call.
Have a couple of days. Well, I think our engineer might make the call.
Okay.
And just let us know.
Got it. Anybody have new business? Okay. We will move on to the general manager's annual performance review. This time I do have all the documents.
Yay.
So you're going into an executive session at?
Yes, at 5:20.
We're about on time.
Yeah.
We're going to the executive session.